verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We have instructions on how to pray, not necessarily what to pray, but how to pray. And with that, not all prayer is equal. Not all prayer is as effective as other prayers. Not all petitions equally grab the ear of God. There is good prayer, effective prayer, and there is poor prayers. And many of us have poor habits in our praying. I would imagine that if you're like me, prayer is one of the more difficult things of the Christian life. It's hard. It's easier to do almost anything else than spend ample, serious, devout time in prayer. We neglect it. We neglect prayer, and it's hard. Good praying, effective prayer, is difficult. There's a reason we don't run. Try to lose weight and get on the track and run. There's a reason we don't do that. It's hard. It's not fun. And there's a reason we don't pray and pray seriously and pray effectually, is because it's hard. Prayer is hard. It's difficult. It's difficult for all of us. And thus, we're lazy when it comes to our prayer life, or at least we're prone to be lazy. Prayer is one of the first things that slips in our Christian life. It's the first thing that kind of slides. It's the first thing that kind of gets neglected. Oh, we pray. We like to boast in the thought that we pray all the time. We pray, you know, throughout the day. We're murmuring prayers here and there, But these are cheap, easy prayers to pray. It doesn't cost us much. It's like saying, hey, you know, I don't run, but I kind of walk a lot. I walk a lot here and there, and I'm just on my feet a lot. Well, that's fine, and that's good, and you need to be on your feet and walk a lot, and that counts for something. And your little prayers that you pray here and there, God wants you to do that, and you should continue to do that, and that's wonderful. In fact, if I had to choose between 1 hour of prayer and praying all day, I would choose praying all day. But however, we tend to neglect that sweet hour of prayer. We tend to neglect doing business in the prayer closet. We tend to not be like Christ, who would have a designated place to pray, and he prayed for hours. And he rebuked his disciples for not being able to pray for at least 1 hour. When's the last time you tried to pray for an hour? Try to do it. Put your stop clock on and you'll find that 5 minutes seems like forever. You can pray much longer in public than you can in private, it seems. Why is that? Well, some prayers are ineffectual. The Bible says if you regard iniquity in your heart, he's not going to hear you. If you're living in sin, you're committing adultery, or you're looking at things you shouldn't be, or you're doing things that you know is wrong, and you're living in sin, why pray? God's not listening to you. So prayers from a sinful person who's not willing to repent of their sins, their prayers truly do not get beyond the ceiling. If you guard iniquity in your heart, God says, I will not hear you. The Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But I don't want you to hear me say throughout this sermon that you can't pray, and that prayer is only limited to the super saints. No, the Bible says in 1 John 5, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. God hears his children when they pray. And you can be the weakest Christian. You say, well, I'm not a righteous man, I don't pray fervently and my prayers are poorly. We'll keep praying. God's listening. And He sends the Holy Spirit to intercede on your behalf and to help you because you don't know how to pray as you ought. The Spirit's there to aid you in your prayer life. So you may not feel like a prayer warrior, but listen, you don't have to be a strong prayer warrior to have a great answer because you've got a great God. It's not your strength that accomplishes great things. It's God's strength. Psalms 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call on Him in sincerity or in truth. He is near. He comes. And you may not feel like God is listening. You may feel like, hey, I'm praying, but my prayers are not getting above the ceiling. Well, you just need to believe. God says He is near those who call upon Him in sincerity. God does listen. God does hear the sincere cries. But in this text, we learn three attributes of effective prayer. These are the attributes we want to incorporate in our prayer life. These are the attributes that God treasures and He's looking for. He's searching for those who are praying this way. And if these attributes actually affect God, if they move God's ear to hear, then I want these attributes in my life. I want to emulate these things. I want to incorporate these three attributes of prayer in my own prayer life. I want to see them in my own prayer life, and I want to see them in our church corporate prayer life. And most of you know that my goal for this church is to have this many people that we see in Sunday morning service to be in the prayer meeting. I want 100% attendance, and I'm not going to give up praying for that until all of you show up for the prayer meeting. Say, Jeff, you can't say that. Yes, I can. And the reason we don't pray is we don't believe God. That's the bottom line of a poor prayer life. Lack of faith. We trust our own strength. And that's why we spend more time in our own energy trying to accomplish our own objectives than we do surrendering to the mighty hand of God and saying, Lord, You must act. You must help. You must intervene. We don't trust God. We don't believe God. But if we believe God, we would be on our knees. We would be dependent upon God. And we would seek to have these three. Let me make sure I have three fingers up. These three attributes in our prayer life, the attributes of effective prayer, we see them outlined or really clearly manifested in verse 2. You can read it and pick out the three attributes by just reading it yourself. The first attribute is to effective prayer life is praying relentlessly. Relentlessly. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Now, this word continue is implied that you're already praying. He said, keep it up. Continue to pray. The implication is that you're a Christian. And because you're a Christian, you're already in the process of praying. Prayer is part of your life as a Christian. Martin Luther says to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Matthew Henry says, you may soon find a living man who does not breathe as a living Christian who does not pray. You're a prayer warrior if you're a Christian. You pray all the time. That's your life. Your communion with God. And if you don't commune with God, you don't fellowship with God, you don't interact with God, you don't pray, you're not a Christian. If you can go days without prayer, you need to come talk to me. And we'll talk to you about the gospel. C.H. Spurgeon says, prayer is the autograph of the Holy Ghost upon the renewed soul. How do we see the Holy Spirit working in someone's life? When we see the evidence in a person praying. So this exhortation is assumed that we are praying. However, it's an exhortation to continue up, to continue on. It's a reminder. You know, and we do need reminding, do we not? You know, it's like, yeah, I do pray, but I soon forget. You know, it's easy to wake up and be late, oversleep your alarm clock, be late, rush to work. Oh, you say a kind of a quick prayer on the drive, and the next thing you know, you're going to sleep and you really haven't prayed. And you excuse it because you were late and busy. Life happens. But you do it twice in a row, three times in a row, and it's a habit. And thus, this is a reminder. The Lord knew we needed reminding. He knew that we would forget. He knew that though this is natural for us as Christians, as the old man still lingers in us, he knew it's still unnatural. It's still difficult. It's still hard. Let's face it, praying is hard work. It's difficult. It's a difficult job. And we must realize we need prompting. We need encouragement. We need reminding. We need sermons like this. The word continue steadfast means to pray with steadfast strength until we prevail with God. This one word in the original language is translated here into two words because we didn't have an English equivalent. So we had to use two words to capture the full meaning of this word. It literally means a fortitude of strength, to show steadfast strength or to work hard until you prevail. The ESV translates the Greek word into two words, continue and steadfastly. The idea is to endure with fortitude and earnestness, to labor with perseverance. It's to start a job and not finish until you have accomplished your objective. It's that, you know, I'm not stopping. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to work. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to be at it day in, day not, in the day in, day out. Every day, every night, I'm going to pray about this and pray about this. I'm going to labor. I'm going to continue until God hears me. The commentator John Davenant says two things are included in this word. A certain earnestness in the intention of the mind, as it were to struggle while occupied in prayer. And secondly, an audious frequency in prayer. In other words, it's a relentless struggle in prayer to put your whole strength into it. John Davenant says, those dead and sleepy prayers which are uttered with a mind either wandering, neither reach heaven nor can move God to hear. For our prayer stands instead of a messenger between us and God, but if a messenger shall either sleep on its way, it will never reach the end of its journey, nor affect the business entrusted to him. Much of our prayers are sleepy prayers. They lack the earnestness. They lack fortitude, determination, and thus they lack perseverance. You pray, but you're quickly weary. I don't know how many times I started running and I didn't finish. I didn't make it to the finish line. I got tired and I just gave up. Started hard and I'm like, man, this is harder than I thought it would be. They say you have to reach a certain point before you can get the runner's high and keep going. I've never reached that. I just seem not to be able to reach that. And I hate every step, and I hate every step, and so I give up. And that's the way some of us, we pray. We pray, and it's hard. And we just don't have endurance in our prayer life. But this is what we're called to do, is have a determination to continue in prayer, not giving up. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Don't give up. Don't stop. Romans 12:2, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, and continue instant in prayer. Luke 18:1, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that they might always to pray and to not faint. Don't grow weary. Some of you are praying for a lost child, and you've prayed for years, but now you're just not praying like you used to because you're growing weary. You say, well, the Lord hasn't heard that one yet. But are you ready to give up on your son or your daughter? Are you ready to say, it doesn't matter, God's not going to hear me, you have no more faith? Do you expect God to answer your prayer request the moment you pray? And we want God to be a genie for us, do we not? Do we not say, God, I prayed, where's the answer? Do you think that's the way God's designed prayer, that He just answers us immediately? What kind of spoiled brats would we be? We would be lazy. And we wouldn't have much of a prayer life, would we? Wouldn't take much faith if He answered everything we asked for the moment we asked for. But sometimes God withholds not to completely not give, but just to make sure we are earnest about it, that we must have it. C.H. Spurgeon says we should pray when we are in a praying mood, and we should pray when we're not in a praying mood. Some things do not come to us unless there's much prayer and fasting. Think about that. So, Lord, Lord, how come we couldn't cast out this demon? How come we can do this? How come? The Lord says, listen, some things are hard. Some things are difficult. Remember the parable of the relentless neighbor? Knocked on his neighbor's door, it's late at night, said, hey, I need some bread, I got company. Go away. We're tired, we're sleeping, the kids are in bed, and I don't want to give up. Hey, I need some bread. Go away. You don't understand. I'm not leaving you alone until you give me bread. But we knock on the door of heaven and we ask and we don't hear anything and we quit. We stop knocking. And we assume that God said no. We assume that God's not going to answer. Now, we need to examine the prayer and make sure it's in the revealed will of God. But if we know that this is something we should be praying for, like the lost, the conversion of our children, or for this need or that need, and we know it's within the revealed will of God, then why are we stopped praying for it? We have to wrestle in prayer. That's the kind of the concept of these two words, continue steadfast, to wrestle, like Jacob wrestling with the angel, or which was the Son of God, pre-incarnate. And he finally wasn't going to let go of this angel or let go of the pre-incarnate Christ. He wasn't going to let go of God until God blessed him. He held on and held on. And you can just imagine this, the pre-incarnate Christ saying, Let me go. Leave me alone. It's daybreak. It's time for me to leave. He said, I won't. I won't until you bless me. I was 5 minutes from pulling the trigger and killing myself when I called my dad to say goodbye. And he told me that I had to wrestle with God until He heard me. And you couldn't let go of God. You've got to grab hold of God. You've got to get Him by the ankles. And you cannot let Him go until He listens, until He hears, until you grab a blessing from God. That's your only hope at this point. 12 o'clock, I hang up the phone with my dad, and I push the gun aside, and I begin to cry out to God. And I watch the clock go from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and God's not listening. I went from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and God's not listening. I'm praying, and nothing's happening. But I was determined about this. I'm not going to let God go until He hears me. And some of you, you're not going to be a Christian. You think, well, I prayed that the Lord would save me. I asked the Lord to save me. I want to be a Christian, and I pray. But listen, the Bible says, until you search Him with all your heart. You've got to be determined that you'll give up everything. And you say, I'll give up everything and I can't take no for an answer, God. I'm going to be at your door knocking, 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 knocking until you hear me. 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and finally at 3 o'clock, I got the ear of God. My life was saved. I haven't been the same since. But so you don't pray because you don't believe, and you don't pray because you don't have anything you really want bad enough. And that's because we get indifferent, lazy, satisfied. You know, you're not overcoming temptation, you're not overcoming this sin. Why not? Because you're not taking it seriously. You don't have to have victory, do you? Well, this is how you pray effectively. Continue steadfastly. Be relentless in your prayers. I'm telling you, there's a difference between relentless prayer and half-hearted, easy, abandoned prayers. Not all prayers are the same. Let's work on having this attribute. The second attribute we see here is about effective prayer is praying attentively or watchfully. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful. Watchful, what does that mean? Could be translated, be awake, be alert. It's contrasted in scriptures with the word sleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep, but let us watch. Much of our prayer life is kind of a sleepy prayer life. I mean, even if we're not asleep, we're kind of praying half asleep. You know, God doesn't have our full attention. Do you think you're going to get God's attention if you don't give Him your full attention? If you're daydreaming about this and daydreaming about this and wandering in your thoughts here, do you want God to actually be fully focused on you? The idea of this is kind of like going on to D-Day, and you're a soldier on D-Day and you're storming the beaches of Normandy. Imagine how alert you need to be, how watchful you need to be, how concerned of your environment and just being there. You can't be somewhere else. You've got to be there. This is the idea. When you pray, pray. Be in your prayer. Don't be somewhere else. Be watchful. Be alert. You remember how the Lord rebuked His disciples? Not that He was betrayed. He went into the garden to pray and His disciples fell asleep. In Matthew 26, verse 40 says, and He came to His disciples and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, could you not stay awake and pray for 1 hour? You're sleeping. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, we are called to watch for many things. We're called to keep guard and watch out for the devil. He's like a prowling, lying, seeking someone to devour. So we're to be watchful. We need to be mindful that temptation is around the corner. We're called to be watchful over our souls. Matthew 26, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Luke 21, but watch yourself lest your hearts be weighed down with drunkenness and cares of this life, and that you that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon you all who will dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place. C.H. Spurgeon says, prayer will make you leave off sinning, but sinning will make you leave off prayer. Be a watch. Watch your soul. We are called to be aware of the needs of the saints. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints. You know, the reason we don't pray more for one another is because we don't know the needs of others. We're not aware. We're not watching. We're not alert. We're just mindless. We're clueless. We're not watching. We are called to be ready for the second coming of Christ. Mark 8, watch, for you do not know the day or the hour. Revelation 3, be watchful. Revelation 16, blessed is he that watches. We're to watch, we're to be ready, we're to be attentive, we're to have our mind engaged. We do not slip away and grow cold and lukewarm. The evidence that we are watching is steadfast prayer. The lack of prayer is a sign that we are dozing off. One of the first things that goes in our spiritual life is our prayer life. It's the first thing that will slip, right? And it's a sign that we're sleeping or we're falling asleep. Lack of prayer is a sign of lukewarmness. We're to stir ourselves up. We're to pray steadfastly and continue and struggle in prayer and be watchful. This is not the time to sleep. This is not the time to go take a vacation. Look what's going on around us. The world's self-destructing. There's evil everywhere. There's evil everywhere. And parents, we need to be careful. The evil is coming into the homes. We need to be watchful and we need to be in prayer. How to pray watchfully? Pray attentively. I think it's good before you pray to think about what you're going to pray. I mean, sometimes it's we just start praying and we just ramble. I mean, we're just rambling. And Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for their long, repetitious prayers. I mean, you don't have to pray these long prayers. The Lord already knows what you need. Don't just be rambling. And your heart is far from what you're asking. You just got a lot of words, but you're not engaged. Think through what you want God to do, what you need God to do. Thank God. Think about what you're trying to get God to hear, to accomplish. Be alert. Be attentive. Pray thoughtfully. Seek to have a clear mind. We all struggle with distracted prayers. I know I do. I know I struggle here a lot. I'll pray and next thing I know, I'm daydreaming about all kinds of things. And it'll go 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I'm like, how in the world did I get on this topic? It's because I prayed and that reminded me of something I needed to do. And then next thing I know, I'm not praying. But it's because I'm not praying properly. I'm not being watchful. Some of us pray as if God is not listening. But if God was showed up in our prayer closet, if he was right there and he manifested himself, I promise you, if you're in the presence of God, you wouldn't be talking to him about all your to-do list. You wouldn't lose focus. But it's hard to stay focused because we have to pray to an invisible God. And that's what makes it hard. That's what makes it difficult. Let's be honest about it. That's what takes faith. But let's believe that he is listening. Let's believe that he is hearing. Let's believe that we're in his presence. So I don't sense his presence. Well, you don't have to sense it to know that he's there. Know that you're in the presence of God, that you have his ear, and pray as if he is listening. The third attribute of prayer is thankfulness. We see that at the end of the verse. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now, here's the thing about the Christian life. From start to finish, it's a life of prayer. You know, if you want to be a Christian, you have to get good at asking. And sometimes us guys hate to ask. We don't want to ask for directions. We don't want to ask for help. We don't want to ask for money. We don't want to ask for anything. We got it. But that attitude cannot exist in the Christian life. Everything about the Christian life is dependency, not independency. Everything, you have to be a beggar. So I don't want to be a beggar. Well, that's not, then Christianity is not for you. So I don't want to beg God for anything. I'm going to do it my own way. Well, go ahead. Christianity is not for you. Christianity is for those who know they have nothing and can give God nothing. Christianity is not a religion that you can barter with God. How many of you, if you're lost, go, hey, God, if you save me, I'll do this. Or if you do this, I'll do that. You're going to make an exchange with God. God, you bless me, or you do this, you answer this prayer, and in return, I will give you this. It doesn't work that way. One, God doesn't make deals. Two, you don't have anything that God needs. What are you going to give to God that he hadn't first given you? He's going to go, oh, yo, I'll do that deal. Man, I'm getting a good bargain here. You have nothing to trade him. All you have is your filthy rags. All you have is your false sense of self-righteousness. All you have is just nothing but dirt. He created everything. He doesn't need you or your stuff. He doesn't need your life. So, well, I'm a redeemed Christian now. He can use me in the ministry. No, he can make rocks into the children of Abraham. He doesn't need you. You need him. And everything about the Christian life has to be, God, I need this. I need that. I need food for today. I need strength to be a good husband. I need wisdom to raise my children. I need finances to pay the bills. I need a job. I need you every hour. I need you. That's why you have to pray. But you have not because you ask not. God's a rich, bountiful person. You know, he's a God who wants to give us. He wants to give you the grace you need to overcome temptation. He wants to give you the joy that you can overcome anxiety. He has all this riches that, and it's just right there and he's willing to give. But you just don't ask because you're prideful. Or I'm prideful. Before I move on, I want to tell the unbelievers, this is the time just to give up everything and pray until you find God. Come to God with empty hands as a beggar. And I'll promise you this, if you're sincere and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and you have nothing and you know you have nothing to give him, I promise you he will give you eternal life free. What a good deal. Now imagine that this is how the Christian life works. We're all dependent, needy, beggars. We're kind of like children. You know, we're not 18-year-old or... There's an age where children become profitable or helpful. They can sweep the floors. They can fold the clothes. They actually can contribute a little bit. But there's an age where their work, it just messes things up. I mean, I won't tell you what age that is, but if you say, hey, will you sweep the floor? It's just going to get worse. And you're having to feed these kids. You're going to have to clothe them. You're going to have to do everything for them. I mean, they're 100% a dependent. 100%. Well, that's the way we are. We're children. Remember that. You're children in the kingdom of God. You're children to the family of God. You're 100% dependent. If you do some good things, like sweep the floors, because the Father is behind you helping you. If you're preaching the gospel, it's because God and the Holy Spirit is behind you helping you. If you're a missionary, it's because God is behind you helping you sweep that floor. Oh, he could do a lot better without you. Remember that. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But we need him. Now that you know what the Christian life's all about, now when you pray, how would you think it would be if you're complaining all the time? Think about that. You know, we have to ask God for everything, but in the process of, Lord, give me this, give me that. Oh, this is not fair. I need more money. And you're just complaining. You're not thankful. Imagine a little kid that you're feeding and you're providing a house for and you're loving. You're doing everything for. Then they turn around and show ungratefulness and unthoughtfulness, lack of gratitude. Imagine that. How much would you want to answer that little brat's request? Some of us are brats when we pray, demanding God to do this and that, and we don't have any gratefulness. And our prayer needs to be seasoned with gratefulness and thoughtfulness. We're coming to Him as beggars. Oh, Lord, but You've already given us salvation. You've given me eternal life. You've given me joy. You've given me Christ. You've given me a church. You've given me righteousness. You've given me everything I have, Lord. You've promised me that You'll never leave me, forsake me. You promised to take care of my every need. I have no complaints here, but Lord, I am asking that You would come and work in my child's life. I'm dependent on You. But I'm thankful that I can come to You. I'm thankful that You're a God that listens. I'm thankful that You're a God that hears. Oh God, You're a good God. Let our prayers be saturated with gratitude and thankfulness, because this is pleasing to the Lord. You know, when you have kids that are thankful, you just want to give them more. But you have kids that are ungrateful, you want to take what you've given them away. You see, these three attributes are the core attributes of a good prayer life. Praying steadfastly, relentlessly, where we must prevail with God. We must continue steadfast until God hears us. Praying spiritually, being alert and engaged. And thirdly, being thankful. I'm going to ask Matt Shores if you would do a special thing for us. And I'm going to ask y'all if you would do a special thing for me. I was at the beginning of the song service, then I was at the front at the end of the song service, and there is a noticeable difference in the volume between back there and up here. And when I approached to the front, I'm like, man, this is glorious up here. Congregational singing, this is not my sermon. Congregational singing, which is one of our distinctives as our church. We're not trying to be a performance up here. We're trying to promote the saints singing praises to the Lord. Because the Bible says we're to sing unto one another. To one another. That's how we encourage one another. So I'm going to ask, rather than you, for this, not next week, go back to doing what you normally do next week, but this song, I want to ask everybody on this side to slightly turn and look to the congregation on this side. And you guys, rather than looking up here, turn and look and face one another. And obey the scriptures that says, sing to one another. And could you, Matt and the musicians, sing again, Come Thou Fount Ever Blessing. And then do exactly what y'all did before with dropping off and letting the congregation a cappella take over.